Hi, this is Kelly Edwards. We are here at Prince Edward County meeting with
Lynette Wright. I'm the Director of Elections here.
And we are going to go ahead and just start with a few general questions. What is your biggest concern about the upcoming election?
Biggest concern about the upcoming election in November.
If you have one.
I really do not. Mm-hmm. After we had early voting for the first time at the presidential, mm-hmm. we know that is our biggest turnout.
Right.
So any concerns we had got solved then. You figured out and adjusted. And then June, of course, election hit, and you have to figure out, I prepared for a big turnout, and it wasn't, so I had to start cutting workers until finally I had voting in my office so I would save taxpayer money. So I guess my concern right now for November would be the turnout. Do I need to have voting in my office or have the early vote room with offices of election? So that's pretty much the only concern I have. Everything else kind of, you know, we work through it in November. And
Do you feel like you have the resources, equipment, personnel, and training needed to run an effective election in November?
I do. Okay. I feel like I am lucky. I am one of the counties that have a full-time assistant deputy registrar. Most counties do not. Most counties are trying to get one. We've had, of course, in Prince Edward County, I was the assistant registrar. My registrar passed away. The night before an election, I had to step up, did not know how to do any of it. I had two other registrars from other counties calling, you know, this is what you do, this is what you do. So I think it's important that each office have more than one employee. You know, you have to put off doctor's visits, surgeries. I mean, there's a lot when there's just one person in an office. And that is a big, big issue for me. So I'm one of the lucky ones that did get a full-time. So I feel like that I have enough for this November presidential. I did not. I had to bring in three more people. They were offices of election, and they volunteered. So it just varies on the elections, on what I think would be, you know, proper personnel. But the county does really good working with me. Equipment, they, you know, whatever is mandated by law, they have to get. So I don't have a problem with that. Training, I put her through every training I go through. I had to be a certified general registrar. It's one of the new laws.
Mm-hmm.
And she sat behind me and watched all the training that I had. So if anything does happen to me, she is prepared.
That's good.
Yes.
The county election board is supposed to consist of two Democrats and a Republican under a Democrat governor. But
correct.
In some areas, boards have had trouble finding willing Republicans and have appointed an independent instead or another Democrat. What is the situation in this county?
I have two Democratic electoral board members and one Republican.
Okay.
The Republican is our chairman, and the Democrat is the vice chair and the secretary. The secretary and the chair has to be of opposite party.
Okay.
Unless they relinquish, you know, in the minutes that they don't want to be secretary, then the other one agrees to it.
Gotcha.
So, but mine are exactly like it's supposed to be.
Okay. What about precinct staff? Are you able to have equal numbers of Democrats and Republicans?
We don't really have a problem with that. It seems to work out pretty well. We supply a list to our party chairs so that they know who's working and what party they're representing.
Mm-hmm.
The parties also are asked to send us names of people that they would like to represent their party to work the polls.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they recruit and send us names, and we get the paperwork out to them, and we get them trained. And, you know, they're not allowed to work an election until they're trained.
Mm-hmm.
Because of COVID, the state just started online training. But I still like the in-person training.
Right.
I think it, you know, I can explain more to them, and I can physically show them this is the poll book. This is what, and in this county, we use paper poll books, so we don't have laptops or electronic.
Yeah.
So that was, of course, in November, people were screaming, where's my voter credit? It's a paper poll book. You won't get it until I get the poll books.
Right. So is the County Board of Elections engaged in your work year-round or mostly only near elections?
Year-round.
Year-round.
Mm-hmm. Okay. They meet when they're required. They meet when they're not required. Whenever one of them has a concern, of course, they call for a meeting. They're going to be meeting in September for LNA testing. We just had a meeting in July, and they discussed two of the new poll workers, because we don't just do it. We do it when they have to reappoint. But then when we have people that just randomly come in and want to be workers, I save it up to the next meeting. Then they review the information, and then they either appoint them or not. So they review two new poll worker requests. My general registrar evaluation they have to do every year. And discuss any issues. And of course, I always ask them, is there anything that you'd like for me to do, let you know? You know, I let them know what I have to let them know, and they take care of what they have to take care of. But mm-hmm. if they have any extra, you know, wants or information from me, I'm like, you tell me what you want me. I work for them.
Right. Right.
So tell me what you want me to do, and that's what I will do. So.
All right, thank you. Now, a few questions on the voter roll. When was the last time the voter file in your county was scrubbed or cleaned? Do you know?
Or? The voter roll. The state does it
okay.
statewide. They
okay.
send us, we just had one, I think it was in July, June or July, we just had a bunch pop up in a hopper with, you okay. know, this is the in Prince Edward County people that have changed their address and moved. We also have, they do a mailing, and the mailing sends confirmations out to people that have not voted in a long time or their address is different and they hadn't responded. And then if they respond, we get to update it. If they don't respond, they go into an inactive status. And of course, they don't get canceled. You have to go through two federal elections with no activity, so 8 years or longer, before you actually get dropped off the rolls. And of course, with us being a college town,
right.
a lot of college students move out of state.
Right.
And they stay on the rolls
right.
for years until they drop off because they're not voting. But there's, you know, we're not just allowed to say, oh, yeah, let me take them off.
Does the health department, coroner, or Bureau of Vital Statistics send a list of deceased people to
yes,
your
every month?
Every month.
Yep.
Okay.
We get a death hopper. I actually worked the day before yesterday. I hit 13.
Okay.
It's really increased.
Okay.
I think it's really increased.
All right. When was the last time the clerk of courts submitted a list of individuals who declined to serve on jury duty on the basis of being a non-citizen?
Submitted one to me?
Mm-hmm.
I have not seen one.
Okay.
I know our clerk of court usually sends all paperwork to the state, and then the state
and it
sends
may be
stuff
that you,
to me.
Right.
So...
Didn't maybe they haven't had that happen? When was the last time you had access to the national change of address list or any other change of address list?
I would assume that might mean the NCOA that we just did
okay.
last month in the hopper. So it was they do it once a year.
Okay.
I think they're going to start doing it more often.
Okay.
I'm not 100% sure.
That might be something to check with the state.
Yeah, but I mean, it pops up, they send us an email and say we're doing this, and then it populates automatically into our hopper once we sign on
mm-hmm.
for in-county and out of county.
Okay. Are you confident that the voter file is accurate and up to date?
In Prince Edward County?
Mm-hmm.
I am,
okay.
yes. We just were told in an email that they were the state was sending us a file on people to check to make sure they were... in the right county
okay.
because of the like the county lines mm-hmm. and stuff. And everybody, you know, of course we all talk, you know, hey, how many did you get? Mine still has not populated. So, and everybody else got theirs last week. So either I don't have any, which makes me feel really
good,
good
right.
or they forgot me, which
right.
I doubt.
Right.
So.
How many households, if you know this, in your locality have more than 7 individuals registered at the same address?
There's nothing that I would know
okay.
of mm-hmm. to know that at all. We register people, and I don't think there's any report that tells you how many's at each address
right.
at all.
Okay.
If it is, I'm not familiar with it. I've never seen it.
Right. During registration, how do you verify that voters are citizens?
there's a box on the application that says, are you a citizen? And they check yes or no. And they have to sign an oath at the bottom stating that everything they put on this form is the truth, or they can get prosecuted.
Okay. So moving on, concerns are raised across the country about the accuracy and integrity of voting machines in the 2020 elections. There are three types of voting machines used in Virginia. Can you tell me which machines you use?
I use the ES&S from Printelect.
Okay.
And they're the scanners. We have paper
ballots.
I've got
the scanners.
Mm-hmm. Paper ballots, and they scan. I love them.
Okay.
And I think all my voters love them because with the touch screen we used to have, Unilect, people would call and complain all the time, like, that was already checked, or, you know, and it wasn't. It
right.
was just if you touch it 2-3 times
right.
on your phone, it keeps going.
Right.
With these paper ballots, I've not had a single complaint since
we
started using them.
And then they just get scanned in.
Because you've got time to verify. If you messed up, you get another one.
Right. Okay.
You know, it's great. And if the scanner stops working, you can hand count them.
Right.
And the election goes on.
Who calibrates the voting machines?
We have an outside vendor, a third-party Printelect, that we pay to come in. They're going to be doing ours soon. We start early night, September 17th, so they'll be coming the first week or two of September to do our LNA testing. And the vendor comes that we pay to do it. Of course, I'm present, my deputy's present, and my electoral board is present, and we send notification to both party chairs, and they are more than welcome to come and attend. They can't touch anything, but they can watch everything we do.
You're answering my next questions already.
Okay.
So you do invite the party representatives
to
witness the calibration.
It's
and,
the law.
Okay.
We have
yes.
to.
Okay.
Yes. And the candidates, if they're independent candidates, they're invited too, so they can see that, you know, everything is properly run. They have a test deck of ballots they run, and they have like the total sheet, and of course that tape has to match that total to make sure it's counting properly. The machines are clean to make sure that, you know.
Are voting machines ever connected to the internet?
No, doesn't even have the capability. It's just plugged into electricity, and when the electricity goes out, they can run for 2 hours without electricity.
Okay.
You know, that way it gives us time for the electric company to either fix it or us to get a generator out.
If they are not connected to the internet, how and when are they updated? Or is that going back to the calibration maybe?
Well, there's really no updating. The state, when they approve a machine, they can't make any changes, not even the print type or anything. It has to be exactly like it was approved.
Okay.
So the there is no updating. The only thing they do for, like, in LNA testing is the thumb drives get inserted in that have the ballot information, has the names and everything. We do have, the state has recertified a new update, and that won't happen until after this November election.
Okay.
Because right now, the other ones, the other certification is getting ready to run out, so we have to update. The whole state does. Nobody has a choice.
Many changes in election procedures were introduced in response to the COVID pandemic, and some people have argued that these changes weaken the integrity of the election process. As an election professional, do you think the changes made in the election process in Virginia in response to COVID have weakened election integrity, strengthened election integrity, or made no change in election integrity?
It's a hard one because there were so many different things that were introduced, like the curbside voting for anyone. I did not have a problem with that before. It was supposed to be 65 or older disabled. I've always told people, you know, where we're located and outside, you know, and they're elderly. I'm like, I can come outside if it's easier for you. I don't mind doing that. So I think that made it, the same. I don't see where the integrity was any different there. Just made it easier for them. And as far as like the witness signature, I really don't know about that one. We check the signature that we have, the voter signature when they register, their signature from DMV or on the card, depending on whether they do it manually or at DMV, is on the screen. So we have their signature, and you know, so I don't know if it really made that much of a difference.
Okay. Did you receive any funding or in-kind contributions for training staff, voter education, or equipment, or any other purpose from outside of the state of Virginia?
No.
Okay.
I had CARES Act grant that I got to use, but it was very specific on what I could use. So I used very little of it, and the rest of it went back.
Okay.
Because I called the person, and I was like, is this covered? Is this covered? It was covered, and he was, yep. So, and then I was like, well, I don't know anything else I can use it for. So, we went back.
Effective July 1st, 2021, Senate Bill 1097 eliminated requirements for voters to have a witness signature on absentee ballots for any election during a declared state of emergency. The governor has now rescinded the state of emergency, so how are you training your staff to ensure that there is a signature match for the upcoming elections, which we kind of talked about?
You said, yeah, I only have one person,
right?
And everything that, when elect sends us a notice and says this is what you need to do, I sign it and date it that I read it, and
right.
She signs it and dates it that she reads it, and you know, read it, and then it goes into a folder.
Okay.
So that we have been trained on the new procedure.
Okay.
And if anybody, I have to bring anybody in, then of course, we usually don't allow them to give them a lot of responsibility.
Right.
We give them the easy stuff, like stuffing envelopes or putting on postage or something.
Right.
But we did need them to do that, it is. By example, it's like, do you see this envelope? This is what it has to be. And then, of course, I have a book that tells you what's acceptable and what's not per the Code of Virginia. And a lot of times, the two of us will look at something and say, is that acceptable or not? And then we'll actually read it, and we're like, yep, that is. It is.
Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah, we're really, really particular about ours. We make sure they are right. And, of course, we have to cure ballots now. So.
Yeah. There is a lot of concern in Virginia and across the country about the security and integrity of the ballot drop boxes. What are the chain of custody procedures for ballot drop boxes?
I do not have one outside of my office. I have a drop box that I put up in my office during election time.
Okay.
And then, of course, the drop boxes are at each poll on election day. As far as the chain of custody would be, the person drops the ballot in the drop box. At the end of the day, we open it. It's locked. We open it as staff, and we process it and put, you know, check it to make sure it doesn't need to be cured. And if it's, you know, everything's right, we put it in as marked, and it gets locked away with the rest of the ballots. As far as election day, there's forms. We did not have any in June, so
okay.
I cannot tell you what, you know, so they did the form and put zero, so we did still do a custody form showing that there was none. So the chief and the assistant, which are of opposite party, both signed the form, well, not in June, but in November, sign it. Of course, in June, it was the assistant and the chief sign it and verify that there were zero ballots in the drop box. And then when they bring it to me, I sign it and verify that they gave me no ballots.
Okay.
So that would be the chain of custody. If we did, it would be, you know, be the opposite party. Two of them bring it in. I sign that I accepted, and then of course I have a receipt where when I hand them over to my CAP to process, they have to sign that they received this many ballots from me.
Okay. Was there any time during the last election cycle when your drop boxes did not have video monitoring?
Oh, we don't have to on election day and inside the office.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. 'Cause it's the law, they have to, if they're outside, they have to be video monitored and proper signage.
Who is, well, this kind of does not go with you because this is who reviews the video, but your drop boxes are in.
If we did have one, it would be the Sheriff's Department. They already have cameras up outside.
Okay.
That's who I was told it would be if we did.
Okay.
That we needed one, you know.
Then it would be them that reviewed it.
If it was wanted, but a lot of people just bring them in to me and drop them off. I mean, they don't have a problem. Yeah.
To strengthen public confidence in the integrity of elections, we hope to expand our observation efforts and have a few questions about election pages, nonpartisan observers, and party observers. Would you provide training and support or designate us to provide training and support for an election day program as described in 24.2-604.3?
I have not had any of the programs, so okay. I guess it would be up to the state.
Okay.
I would have to check with state and...
Okay. Would you authorize nonpartisan election observers with the same rights as party representatives as described in 24.2-604.5A? Your book.
I do know that they are allowed observers at the polls okay. before they open, while they're open, and after they're open. And if the party, if there's not enough of the party, mm-hmm. they can go out and ask if anyone wants to be an observer. So they can have, as long as the parties haven't taken up. And like the independents are, of course, allowed observers.
Right.
So it just depends on... You know, if a party's allowed three and they only have one, then they can say anybody else won't observe and, you know.
Gotcha.
So.
Would you authorize international nonpartisan observers from recognized election monitoring organizations?
I would have to check with the state. That has mm-hmm. not been presented to me since I have been in this
okay.
office.
Have your local party chairs been notified that they are entitled to send observers to your office each day it is open and receiving in-person absentee ballots?
In-person. During early voting?
I guess so. This is, have your local party chairs been notified they're entitled to send observers here when you're receiving in-person absentee ballots? I guess when you're checking
They're notified when I'm checking
the box. I mean, like pulling the ballots out of the drop box, I guess. I'm not sure. I would have to check on that question.
Right.
I can get back with you.
Because I'm not sure how, because we don't have, like I said, an outside drop box. All right. See it, you know, that's supposed to be of opposite party to do that, and I don't have one. So
I'll check on that question, and I can email you or give you a call and get just more clarification. So when I write this out, we'll...
Yes. Have a correct answer.
Okay, yes. Exactly. Do you have a publication that you provide to your election officials regarding rights and responsibilities of observers?
Do's and don'ts for campaigners.
Okay.
The state provides it to us, and we just hand it to the chiefs and assistants, and they hand them to any observers.
Okay. And you do, so that doesn't matter. So thank you. The survey is complete now, and we deeply appreciate your time today and look forward to keeping in touch as we go through the 2021 state elections. And
thank
if you have any other questions, you can reach out to me, and then I am going to check on the one question to reach out to you
okay.
and see if we can get a clarifying answer, and that way this will be completed.
What was the question again?
Sorry. It was, let's go, okay, let's see. I'm on my last page.
Okay,
okay,
it's number 28.
28. Have your local party chairs been notified that they are entitled to send observers to your office each day it is open and receiving in-person absentee ballots?
And receiving absentee ballots. See, I don't know if that means by mail or in person, or because if it's in person, they're observers, and
right.
that's, yeah, they know they're allowed to do that.
Okay.
Just like in elections.
Okay.
But as far as by mail, I don't...
Yeah, it specifically says in person.
Right.
It does say okay.
In person
okay.
absentee ballots.
Okay.
All right.
But if you were
but
saying
I would,
about drop-offs, and I don't...
So I will just clarify
yeah.
it and just make sure we get back in touch maybe tomorrow. I'll clarify it this evening. I'll give you a call tomorrow and just
yeah.
so we
I
can
know
make sure.
When we did pre-processing, yes, the party chairs were allowed to send observers, and they did. Well, one party did, one party didn't. But they're notified every time there's any kind of... anything to do with ballot counting.
Right.
Okay.
Right. You know, and of course, when early voting, there's no counting because it's against the law. You're not allowed to count ballots and tally them until after, you know, close the polls on election day.
Okay.
But,
well, I thank you for meeting with us.
Yes.
It's been a pleasure talking to you. I'm going to go ahead and end the recording now.